Now stay tuned for To Your Health, where food is on the table and center stage. To Your Health is brought to you by Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating over 20 years of sustainable fine dining on the downtown mall. And by Rebecca's Natural Foods in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. Now here is your host, MC Blair.
Support today is coming from Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating over 20 years of contemporary American fine dining on Charlottesville's historic downtown mall. At Hamilton's, you'll find inspired seafood steaks and vegetarian fare with a full bar and eclectic wine list and always attentive service. Hamilton's supports sustainability in food production, transportation, and preparation, and in the community at large. You can see the lunch and dinner menus, make a reservation, or book the private dining space for your function all at hamiltonsrestaurant.com. That's hamiltonsrestaurant.com.
And we're here. It is MC Blair. I am talking here with Jeanette Abinader from City Schoolyard Gardens and Richard Morris, also from City Schoolyard Gardens. Hey, everybody.
Good morning.
Yeah. Is your mic working? Can you try it again?
Good morning.
Yeah, it did. Good. Excellent. And Richard, I think you're also doing the UACC, right? Urban Agricultural Collective?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. That is great. So I got to tell you, I have in your last newsletter that I read. By the way, folks, get on the mailing list. you'll be able to get the information on how to get in the mailing list on this show. And they had one title called Local Food, Local Places Gathering.
Yeah.
And that seemed like a ball in coordination with the Food Justice Center and the African American Heritage Center and all that. So tell me about it. What went on?
Local Food, Local Places, we were lucky to... We applied for this grant, and we had local partners from the federal government, so people from, I believe, like EPA, as well as regional people and local people here in Charlottesville. And the purpose of this program was to help us put together a plan to advance food justice, food equity, local markets, you know, grocery markets, to help deal with the food desert issue, as well as acquiring land for future gardens. It was a two-day event, and the first day we had about 40 or 50 people, loaded them up on a bus, and we went around to different gardens so that the people from out of state could get a sense of, you know, what the landscape is like here in Charlottesville with regard to local gardens and food. And also, I think we also did an event at, we started out at Charlottesville High School, so there were some opportunities there to hear from some of our interns about their perspective on food in the schools. So after that, we did a tour of the gardens. And on the second day was a full-day planning session where we met at the Jefferson School. And we spent the day, broke up into smaller groups, and we spent the day focusing and concentrating on coming up with some not really solutions, but defining the problem so that we can develop a plan to advance some solutions for food equity here in Charlottesville.
Man, I'll tell you what. What's this the IRC New Roots Mickey Drive Market? Is that?
Yeah.
What is that? Is that a market?
So the International Rescue Committee helps recent refugees. Can you hear me okay?
Try again.
Okay, the International Rescue Committee helps, recent refugees who come to Charlottesville.
Okay.
It provides land for them to grow on and to grow some of their crops, and then what they harvest they can take to market.
One
of their markets is at Mickey Drive.
And
they were a big part of the tour that we did, and many community partners from the refugee community.
There we go. All right.
little technical microphone deal.
Sorry
there.
About
yeah.
That. Yeah.
Gotta hear your voice, you know? It's so lovely. So that helps the refugees that come, and this helped. So it gives them land so they can grow and then go to market with it.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
And they also acted as mentors to some of our youth. So we had four community advocates who are folks who have been working in the community at a grassroots level, promoting growing your own food, promoting food equity, work with our youth interns, our high school youth interns. And they had a wonderful summer together working, and they developed a plan to present to the Charlottesville School Board about their hopes and goals for healthy school food.
Yeah, you know, folks, I'll tell you, when I first discovered City Schoolyard Gardens, and Jeanette and I think Eileen Carey came in, and it was great. And of course, I've always felt, or we here at To Your Health have always felt, that it would be great if we could develop food equity, food justice, food access to a lot of people that heretofore had none.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the local, if they don't have a car, their local market is the 7-Eleven, or nothing against 7-Eleven or a convenience. But apples, every once in a while you see apples in there and that sort of thing. But yeah, so this is, you guys are just, wow.
One of the things that we've been really excited about since Aline and I first came and talked to you, when we were really focused on the schoolyard gardens, which we still are, is that that's a very personal approach, working one-on-one with students, working with the school system, that we realize that some of the practices around food equity are larger than the individual family. And so being able to partner with the Urban Agricultural Collective of Charlottesville and work at a neighborhood level, and then having the Charlottesville Food Justice Network, which works at a policy and networking level, it feels a lot more consistent and with integrity.
Absolutely.
In terms of it different.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that allows us to cover, you know, a couple of bases. One being the immediate need of feeding people and creating spaces for people where people from different socioeconomic strata can come together and work toward a common good. But it also allows us to address some of those larger systemic issues around food justice with the work that the CFJN, Charlottesville Food Justice Network, does.
Wow. And you mentioned people working together, and I've always said, you know, that's that'll solve a lot of problems, you know, because, you know, mom and dad are, they're telling their kids about, well, these people, well, they're this, they're that, whatever. So they get a lot of that at home, and then they get come to City Schoolyard Gardens, or they come to school, you know, I'm going to Buford, or I'm going to Charlottesville High School, and all of a sudden they're introduced to this, you know, what you guys are doing with the gardens and, you know, growing the food and preparing the food. And a lot of those kids, number one, as you pointed out last time, Jeanette, a lot of those kids didn't, I mean, none of them want broccoli or spinach or any of that sort of thing until they grow it and prepare it and eat it. All of a sudden, they're going home and saying, hey, Mom, get some fresh spinach, get some fresh broccoli. And what? Hey, are you kidding? Really? Yeah, no, and I can show you how to prepare. It's really cool. But then working together from people from different income stratas, different cultures, different skin colors, and they go, oh, hey, those people that my parents talk about, they're not so bad.
Well, one of the things we've really seen is that families all want the same thing for their kids, right? They want their kids to be healthy.
Yes.
They even, I think it's a misperception that families don't want to give their kids healthy food. I think they want to. There are just numerous structural barriers that make it really hard.
Yeah, well, and the jobs, working jobs, and I don't have time. That's the biggest thing I hear when I asked somebody about preparing fresh food.
Yeah, I grew up in a garden. My mother was an Alabama farm girl, and so there were gardens in the backyard for as long as I can remember. And I just kind of took that for granted. But a lot of students today don't have access to that. But when you do have access to gardens in the school, and when you're out in the community and there's a garden there, and you're seeing some of the same people working in the community garden that you saw working in the school gardens, it just creates this cohesive normalization of gardens, and then that makes that food more accessible, and the idea of eating those healthy foods more of a normative idea as opposed to something that only rich people get to do.
Yeah, yeah. Folks, you're listening to Your Health on WPVC 94.7, the progressive voice, the voice of resistance in Charlottesville. And we're talking to Richard Morris and Jeanette Abby Nader from City Schoolyard Gardens and Urban Agricultural Collective of Charlottesville. And those used to be separate, didn't they?
Yes.
When Farmer Todd was doing it.
And right? He's still involved, luckily.
Oh,
we're so
sure
fortunate
he is.
To have.
Yes. So, Todd, if you're listening, you're appreciated. I think you know that. So, let's see. What is it? Oh, You used to have one urban farming course and one gardening course at Charlottesville High School, and what are you doing now? How's that expanded?
Well, Charlottesville City Schools, the principal at the high school, Dr. Irizarry, is really committed to urban agriculture. Mm-hmm. And so Peter Davis, who's the teacher there, is now hosting, I think, 5 units of urban farming for this next school year. There's been a ton of interest, and they're expanding the garden. They have we have chickens there. There's a mobile salad. The students created a salad spinner out of an old washing machine, and they're doing this new project that you mentioned was in the newsletter about the boy who harnessed the wind.
Yes.
That will involve the whole several different departments in the school, in Charlottesville High School, and they'll each be working to do a piece of it to build a wind turbine.
And one of the things that's been happening this summer since school's out is that the produce, some of the produce from the Charlottesville High School garden has gone to the community gardens to distribute during our market days, UACC's market days, to people in the community.
That is amazing, you know. And you mentioned the chickens because we were reading, my wife was reading something to me today about the difference between urban farming and urban agriculture. And if it's urban agriculture, you know, the whole thing, it includes the animals.
Okay, yeah.
You know, whereas farming is simply just, you know,
the crops.
Farming, just the crops. And so now, and then you've got the animals involved as well, and that's it, you know. I tell you, start with chickens, and when are you doing beef and pork? No, I'm kidding.
Exactly.
At some point, that may actually happen, you know.
And there's some other livestock that people don't normally think about. Mm-hmm. So at UACC's gardens, at our flagship garden at Friendship Court, we have perennial beds of flowers.
I knew you were
and
going
so
there.
That attracts the bees. Yep, they're kind of contract workers for
they
us because we don't really tell them what to do, but they're very helpful in pollinating.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just at the Elysium Honey Company and interviewing them, and you know that Brooke was her name. She was one of the beekeepers there, and she was explaining to me all the things about bees and keeping bees and checking for the mites, you know, the number one enemy of bees. And it was amazing. We went down to the hives. I don't know. Are you guys ever going to have hives?
Not at the schools because of allergy concerns.
Oh, that makes sense.
So we've been doing, you know, the natural pollinator things to encourage them. But, Richard, you have bees at home, right?
Yes. I beekeep. I like to say I'm the laziest beekeeper in the world because I don't really do anything with them. I let them, bees, they know what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
They know how to make honey. So I let them do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been fortunate to have bees that are very hardy. I think genetically they have not been prone to colony collapse disorder, which has been this issue that's been going on for some years. And it just goes to show how if you let nature do its thing and try not to interfere as much, in a lot of cases, in the case of bees, they can take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But they're great pollinators, and my hive has swarmed a couple of times, which means the hive splits and half the bees fly off and form a new colony. And so not only have I benefited from the pollination services of the bees, but so have my neighbors.
I noticed they had all kinds of flowers and stuff like that that were growing, and I was just reading about these 11 edible flowers that you can, you know, grow and obviously get the beauty from them, but also put them in your salad.
Mm-hmm.
Or
you ever try a nasturtium?
I have not. That was one of the ones they were talking about. And borage and dandelions.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew?
The
but
leaves of the dandelions.
Yeah, flowers, mm-hmm. leaves, roots, you know, very medicinal and all that. So
One of our growers from the IRC New Roots program likes purslane, which is a weed. It's like a kind of like a succulent type weed, but they use it in salads, and it's really great to stir fry.
Yeah, I was just going to say I've got that right there, purslane.
Yeah.
Tiny yellow flowers and thick, fleshy leaves.
The leaves are really good, yeah.
I bet. Cooked or raw.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is plantain. Where a plantain, the broad leaf, and then it shoots this stalk up that looks like a mini asparagus, and if you catch it while it's tight before it opens up to flower, oh my, is it good? Steam it up, a little
I've
salt and pepper,
that.
And so good. And it's a weed.
Yeah, the plantain leaves are good for like a poultice
they
if you
are.
Get bit or something. But I didn't
Absolutely.
Know you could eat the flower.
Yeah.
Cool.
And raw or cooked?
Yeah,
raw. Is it's I wouldn't say sweet, but it's definitely a friendly flavor, if you will. And then it has a nutty back end, which is really kind of cool. So, yeah, you learn all kinds of stuff on this show, folks. Hey, what are we doing those weeds? Well, I think I'll cook them up.
You know a ton of stuff, MC, that's for sure.
Thank you. And so, let's see. Garden-based therapy.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
This summer, the youth Food Justice interns had a unit on healing in the garden, and because one of the things we hear from the students is that the garden is their happy place, it's a great place to get grounded, to meet different friends, and so they spent some time thinking about how we could use the gardens to respond to some of the healing in the community around this weekend, you know, around the Unite the Right rally a few years ago, and the repercussions of pain that that has caused. And so the students and the community advocates designed a sculpture?
Like a sundial.
Sundial sculpture. And we won't tell you too much about it because we're going to have the unveiling next month. They've designed these with the goal of indicating a healing space in the garden. I mean, gardening in itself can be healing for anyone.
Absolutely.
But to have this kind of intentional thing around, and we're partnering with the Charlottesville 12 to unroll these monuments at each, not it's monuments, nice. These yeah, little yeah. Yeah. sculptures yeah. at each garden. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah, Monday's the anniversary.
Yeah.
And what I've tried to do on the community garden side is incorporate some of what we're doing in the schools on the CSG side. So we introduce seating, something as simple as picnic tables to our flagship garden at Friendship Court to create a space that's more inviting to people because, you know, people need to sit down and nothing's more meditative than to just kind of sit and enjoy the beauty of the garden. And when I'm driving by the garden, just recently I saw a gentleman out there in the garden and he was just kind of standing there, just kind of looking at things. And he seemed to be in a meditative, contemplative sort of state. And I thought, that's great. I love seeing that happen out there in the garden. And of course, the kids in the community love to come out and play in the around the garden when we're out there working.
Yeah, a friend of mine, Richard Collins, I had him on, and also Bob Messler, and they were talking about their home gardens and how calming it is, stress-free environment, you know, and that's, there you go. So therapy, absolutely, is a good, and the other thing that one of the things, I have a lot of questions to ask them, folks, future entrepreneurs, we had a meat goat farmer in here, Renard Turner. You know Renard?
Of course, he's come to speak to the students.
Oh, of course. He's wonderful.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that was the biggest, I gotta say problem, I don't like to use that word, challenge, is getting the children of farmers to want to take over the farm as a farm. As opposed to, 50 acres, and this developer's going to give me $30,000 an acre. Pay me my money, you know, and then they move on and go wherever they go. But, and so you guys are actually in this, the courses, the expanded courses, looking at it and to teach kids that they can, in fact, use this as an entrepreneurial event or job. What's the word? Opportunity is the word, an entrepreneurial opportunity.
When I'm out in our urban gardens, I work with the, just recently I worked with the City Schoolyard Garden summer youth interns, and then we also had volunteers from the Teens Give program. And one of the things I like to talk about is, you know, it's a hard sell to tell a teenager to try to get them to get into the idea of farming as a career. But it's a much easier, if you just talk about the benefits of growing some of your own food or supporting local farmers who are growing their own food. But one of the things I talk about is land ownership to the teens, which is that's where wealth and power is owning your own piece of land, even if it's not something big, because you can do a lot with it. You can grow some of your own food, and it's something that you have. And so part of that entrepreneurial idea is ownership, is land ownership is built into that.
Man, so what's the response?
Everybody thinks that's a great idea. Even some of the kids who maybe haven't had any experience gardening, but when they look at it from the position of I own this. This is mine. It's like, you know, they understand owning a car, owning the latest phone. And so the idea of owning land, which is for people who are certainly at the margins of the socioeconomic spectrum, that idea of owning land, owning your own home, those are not quite foreign ideas, but they're a little outside the sphere of experience of people. And so conveying this idea that you can have this, you can do this. Mm-hmm. You don't have to necessarily be a farmer, but you could be someone who farms at home, who, mm-hmm. who gardens at home, and you can share your excess, and you can support people who do.
Mm. I think part of the issue has been that land ownership has been denied specifically through development, and so it's not just a matter. I mean, there have been structural changes that have made it really challenging for people to own land. So having these community gardens where people can come together to garden, I think, is really important. And as we go through redevelopment of our public housing sites, which is really important, we're losing some of that shared farming space. Mm-hmm. And so we're working with community members and with various development organizations to try to maintain that safe space.
That's amazing. Folks, you're listening to Your Health, and we're going to take a little break. And we are back. It's MC Blair. I'm talking with Jeanette Abinader from City Schoolyard Gardens and Richard Morris from City Schoolyard Gardens and Urban Agricultural Collective of Charlottesville. And Jeanette, you mentioned part of the farming courses offered at high school would work along with the engineering, English, science, and history departments.
Mm-hmm.
That is so smart.
Yeah, it's really amazing how the Charlottesville High School community they've done this with their projects, but come together across uh-huh. the different departments. So there's a book called The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. The English classes will be focusing on reading the book,
mm-hmm.
and then the engineering classes will be working on developing a wind turbine.
Right, yeah, you mentioned that.
That
yeah.
can be used for urban farming. I think we're going to use it for the hoop house mm-hmm. to help run the fans, and it's a very multidisciplinary project.
Yeah.
And
well, I remember my dad was an educator.
And yeah,
he was history, social sciences, and all that, and he came up with the idea back in 1958 or 60, somewhere in there, to combine junior and senior history and English classes.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And what he found was that the kids that weren't so good in history but were good mm-hmm. in English, all of a sudden their history acumen mm. increased, as and vice versa,
mm-hmm.
you know, to teach it together. You know, this happened here, and there. And so, and now I understand that's commonplace, at least in Virginia.
Yeah.
So this just takes that to a new level.
When you combine those different subjects then with a hands-on project and with food and with
yes.
something that's really practical.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Interdisciplinary learning, it's awesome.
That is so cool. And, of course, with the you got that $5,000 grant from mm-hmm. Shannon Foundation, mm-hmm. which is just, I know, it's just godsend, you know, just really. Resources always nice to come by.
They make a big difference, yeah.
Yeah. And we mentioned food equity. That's food justice, right?
Yes.
And that's a lot of the members of the Food Justice Network are into, obviously, that.
Yeah, we have about 40 different organizations that are participating in the Food Justice Network, and they work along different points of the food system. So IRC, for example, the New Roots Program, works with refugee growers. The Local Food Hub is working with small farmers. Bread and Roses Trinity is working with a community faith-based groups. Who else?
UACC, you know, we're working at the
right.
The community garden level. What's neat about all of these organizations working together is that we're all rowing in the same direction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, there are a lot of organizations in town, and so this combined effort where we come together, we prioritize goals, we sort of focus on the areas where our strengths are, it's a much, much better way to make progress toward food equity.
And one of the really big, like you talked with Michael Riley from Slow Money, that's another group, is that we're partnering with the city of Charlottesville as well. And so that's been really wonderful. The city council gave us some support to do some research and some plans, and we'll be presenting our final report to them next week about how to make the overall city more focused on food equity and how to include language about that into our comprehensive plan.
Man, I'll tell you, that is fabulous, really. Oh, I just love what you guys are doing.
Thank
it just
you.
Makes me so excited. And I actually started to get, well, I've been excited about food for a long time.
Yeah.
But when I saw the article on Alice Waters and her edible schoolyards, I just went, wow, that is so smart. And then, of course, you know, I got into this, and then I discovered you guys.
Yeah.
And, of course, Alice helped you set it up to begin with.
She was the inspiration for our founder, yeah Linda and, Weinkoff.
Yeah, and I said, man, oh, man, this is so cool and so smart. You know, I wish we had done it, you know, and I know when where I went to high school, I think they still have all kinds of green grass on there.
Yeah.
And, oh, that was the other thing. When you said expanding the garden space at Charlottesville.
At the high school.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so who came up with smothering rather than spraying chemicals?
Oh, that's a long time practice.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Peter Davis at mm-hmm. the high school. Mm-hmm. He's just doing an amazing job up there. He's an inspiration to me. And what's interesting about what he's doing at Charlottesville High School is that he's partnering with UACC. So I went up and I helped get the expansion of the garden. I think mm-hmm. he expanded it by about 2,000 square feet mm-hmm. or so. They're just going gangbusters. We had talked about last year having doing sort of a proof of concept idea where we grow tomatoes and then take the students through the entire entrepreneurial process of developing a product. So let's say salsa, for example, and label it and so forth and then distribute it. That's something that we still have on our radar, but they're just amazing things happening up there at the high school.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And I saw them when I was talking about smothering. It's they cover the grass with a thick plastic. It looked like, and
it was like a fabric.
A fabric,
yeah, that kills
yeah.
it off.
Yeah.
And you can do that at home with cardboard. Mm-hmm. It's called like mulch, sheet mulching.
Sure.
So if you have a new space that you want to have a garden, you can take some old cardboard, put it down, put a bunch of grass, you know, mowed grass
and right,
leaves.
On top. Yeah.
Over the winter, let it sit. Mm-hmm. It'll help mm-hmm. kill the weeds that are under it and provide some rich soil for the spring.
What you learn, man. It's nice. I love it. Now, I noticed Alliance of Native Seed Keepers with the Monacans and the three tribes and how they have been doing that for centuries.
They have been. We wanted to cultivate some respect for the mm-hmm. first peoples that mm-hmm. were on this land. And so we're just beginning to learn about the Monacan history here in Charlottesville and in this area.
Yeah.
And this is a project that we were excited to look into. We haven't started it yet, but we've just,
Well, I love the idea of it, you know, and of course we have, I think it's a World Bank has mm-hmm. a seed repository somewhere in the above the Arctic Circle.
Yes.
as far as we know.
One of the things with regard to that we have sort of on the drawing board for the future is to start integrating into our gardens, the school gardens, some of those crops that the Monacans grew.
So indigenous.
Yes. And so corn is an obvious choice. And so I think we planted some corn in some of the gardens.
Mm-hmm. Popcorn over at Buford.
Oh, there you go.
The students in the winter, they have a little fire where they can pop the corn out in the garden.
What was it, Will Rogers? Or I can't remember. Somebody said the laziest man he ever met was a guy put popcorn in his pancakes so they'd flip themselves.
Well, I'll have to try that. I never heard of that.
I'm afraid. Well, it takes a long time for popcorn to come up, so uh-huh. my guess is that you would have little pieces of pancake kind of around, scattered around your kitchen.
That's funny.
It was. I. You said popcorn.
Yeah.
And that popped into my mind. Oh, golly. So, what about the, I was reading about somebody had brought in some dilly beans, is that right?
Well, they actually made the beans. Mm-hmm. It turned out to be one of the favorite, were you part of that, Richard?
I wasn't.
Yeah, so the youth interns were learning about canning and doing different things with the garden produce, and they made these dilly beans it's hot. I mean, we were talking about how healing it is in the garden. It's also a lot of hard work.
Sure.
And these students were out there all summer in the really hot weather, and the dilly beans were something that helped. It was very refreshing. It helped with electrolytes.
Oh, okay,
and so
sure.
It became their
fermented,
go-to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So they just did green beans, and then you just pickle them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? How are the local gardens doing?
We're going
South First Street, and,
South First Street, Friendship Court, and Sixth Street. We're going gangbusters. Mm-hmm. This has been my first full season with UACC, and so we got an early start in March, I believe it was. We got our white potatoes, Yukon Goals, and some reds into the ground. We've produced close to 5,000 pounds of food mid-season. We've served roughly about 150 families, and a lot of the people who come and pick up food have multiple members at home. So if you look at it from the terms of actual people that we're serving, it's well over 200. Or maybe 250, because some people have large families. We've had a very strong volunteer response this year. So I try to keep track of all of the numbers. You know, we're well over 100 unique volunteers. So these are not just returnees, but people who come for the first time. So the response from the community has been just amazing this year. We've been producing a lot of food, and we've been getting a lot of people out into the garden. We've also been working with our local partners and even some companies in town that put together volunteer programs for their employees to come out and help in the garden.
And Richard has a farm team. So the farm manager is Jennifer Miner, and she works with Michael Bennett and Myro and Nick, and they're all out there every day working in the heat, making it happen.
Oh man! So somebody wants to volunteer, they go to your website, right?
Yes, they can go to UrbanAgCville. Org, UrbanAgCville.org. Usually we're doing volunteering from 5 to 6. It's been really hot out there, and so I've cut back the hours. But what I tell people is that we are out at our Friendship Court Garden pretty much every day from about 9:30 to noon for certain. And come out any time. I've had people walk up, and they may walk up and ask about what we're doing and then come back a couple days later and volunteer in the morning when we're out there.
That's awesome. I remember I went out there with Farmer Todd a couple years ago, and I was interviewing him, and he said, well, while you're holding the microphone in this hand, you can hold a bucket in this hand. So, help me pick some cucumbers.
That's awesome.
That's what I did. It was great. It was so much fun.
Have an email, volunteer@cityschoolyardgarden.org.
Yeah, I was just going to say volunteer@cityschoolyardgardens.org. Yeah. And that's Jordan Johnson.
Yeah, he'll coordinate and help match people with different projects. Some folks like to work in the garden. Others like to help out with the Harvest of the Month program. And, you know, there's a lot of work. We can always use the help.
I'll tell you, folks, that's it. Resources, time, money, whatever you can. Get it to these folks because they're really doing some amazing things. And so what's... See in the future. I mean, it's obviously just keep going where you're going, like you so adequately or eloquently mentioned. We're all rowing in the same direction.
Well, one of the things that's going on with the UACC's gardens, as Jeanette mentioned earlier, there's going to be redevelopment for some of the housing communities here in town. And so we're going to our Friendship Court Garden. This will be the last season for that garden, as well as our South First Street Garden. Affordable housing is going to be built on those properties, and you know, it's needed and necessary, and we support that. So we're in talks with the local organizations. We're in talks with the Parks Department. We're working toward, and we will be presenting a council. We're working toward the future and getting future gardens, long-term commitments. One of the ideas that I've been advancing for about a year now, which is this idea that gardens are a type of green space. A garden is a park. It's essentially a park that grows food. And so if you think of gardens as a park, it's a lot easier for people to wrap their minds around that idea. Because most people today don't garden because it's easy to go to the grocery store. And so gardens are sort of this sort of added on thing, but if you look at a garden as a contemplative, healthy green space that is beneficial to everybody in the community, then in the same way that a public park is, then I'm very confident that we're going to have new gardens in the future and continue the work that people like Farmer Todd and Karen Waters began.
I think another big vision that we have is really amplifying community leadership. So through the community advocate program, we're able to, folks who have been in the neighborhoods who have been doing this advocacy work for years, making sure that their voices are part of the decision-making process. And so that's another really high goal for us.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So this is, what you guys are doing is just amazing. Well, what else? What else we got going on? with the city school
Well,
yard
the school
gardens.
Year is starting, and so
yes,
we're excited
is.
To have the students come back in and see their gardens and do a lot of harvesting. We'll launch our Harvest of the Month program again, and this year we're partnering. So Charlottesville City Schools is really committed to healthy food, and Mr. Carlton Jones is the nutrition director, and he mm-hmm. already has a lot of different programs happening. He has this program called Lisa's Local on the Line, where he gets local products from local food hub or other local growers and brings it into the cafeteria line. And so we're hoping to share more news about the healthy, fresh foods that he's serving on the line and encourage families to use the lunch program and the breakfast program as it continues to get healthier.
Well, yeah, I see that. I know that, you know, you see on the news a lot of the times where some kids from certain areas, lunch is the, you know, if they don't have a breakfast program, lunch is about the only healthy meal they get due to economic and other things. But now you have a breakfast program as
Charlottesville
well?
City Schools has a wonderful, yeah, they have a breakfast program and a lunch program, and they're working to increase different innovative methods so that folks can get more, you know, have more access to the breakfast and so that the food can be healthier as well.
And then you mentioned that they have chickens. So if they have chickens, if they have eggs, is that right? It's like, almost yeah. everyone. No.
That's right. So we have, actually, we had 9 chickens, and I was responsible for the garden this past week.
Right.
So they don't produce quite enough eggs.
Right, yeah.
But
yeah.
I was working on the garden because Peter was away, and one of the chickens got lost on my watch.
Oh, no.
I know. I felt so bad. I think there's a groundhog problem in the area.
Oh, okay.
But the eggs are mostly being shared with students and teachers
sure.
at the school because there's not enough. But yeah,
right. Yeah, but I mean, eventually, I guess it could be as it expands. I'd love to see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every school in the city, every from elementary to middle to high school, everyone having gardens and chickens and all this sort of thing, and being able to produce all this food for the kids, and then eventually, I guess families.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I mean, that's inevitable as long as it keeps going, right?
Yeah, we would love, you mean for the students to take food home for their families? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be, completely, now I don't know how the food purveyors would like it. What do you mean you're not buying any more of this today? Well, we got enough. We're growing our own, Oh, my gosh.
I think, for the students having access to the gardens, seeing chickens every day, it's just a normal part of the day. You go out to lunch and you're walking past the garden and there's some chickens out there. That's planting a seed. And so some of those students at some point, well, first of all, they're more likely to support local farmers because they see local farming happening right there in their school. But I also think down the road, some of them may decide to get chickens for themselves. They may decide to do some home gardening. Some might even decide to go into farming. So we're planting seeds now, for the future.
Ah, man, that's how you do it. And it's funny because it's been almost a year since you were here.
Yes.
It's been 2 years since you were here.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, just to see this really going in that direction and actually coming together. And I guess the response must be overwhelming to all these new courses are being taught now. And
yeah.
So it's obviously lots of these kids are really, responding well to the whole idea.
I think there's a strong commitment in our community for food, for growing food, for healthy food. And yes, as you said, the students at the high school moving from 1 to 5 classes is amazing. And the support of the principal and of the school system is so critical.
You're listening to To Your Health. Charlottesville, what?
I was just going to say Charlottesville City Schools is doing a lot of innovative things to provide the most equitable, robust education program for youth in our community. Yeah.
You're listening to Your Health. I'm talking with Jeanette Abbey-Nader and Richard Morris from City Schoolyard Gardens and Urban Agriculturist Collective of Charlottesville, or UACC. And we will be back. And we are back. This is MC Blair, and I'm talking with the good folks from City Schoolyard Gardens and Urban Agricultural Collective of Charlottesville. And you were going to talk about the Harvest, is that right?
The Harvest Festival, yeah.
Yes.
MC, we're so grateful for you having us on your show again and promoting all that you do to promote local foods. So in the fall, a few of the big events that we do, we partner with Buford Middle School to do a Fall Harvest Festival, and this is our 10th anniversary of the Fall Harvest Festival, so we're going to make it really big this year, and we're very excited. Usually it's an opportunity for the Charlottesville City School community to come together from all the different schools. Mm-hmm. We meet at the Buford Garden. The students do garden tours. There's face painting. We have a free meal that's provided, and there's music. It's just a really...
Yeah, it's a lively event. I attended my first one last year, and mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to attending again
and
this year.
That's at Buford?
It's at Buford. It's on Friday, October 4th.
Okay.
Which is the Friday before Farm to School Week, so it's a wonderful time to celebrate the harvest. There, I'm looking at your shirt. MC, the audience can't see it, but you've got a beautiful goat on your shirt. We have goats. Last year, we had goats come. One of our international IRC growers brought their goats. So this is a wonderful opportunity, and we're really interested in finding sponsors, business or individuals who want to help sponsor this event. And
oh yeah, so if anyone's out there that wants to help sponsor the event, either time or resources, mm-hmm. more than welcome. Contact City Schoolyard Gardens, and they will point you in the right direction.
Absolutely.
And that's the Harvest Festival, and that is October 4th.
October 4th at Buford Middle School. It's for the Charlottesville City School community, mm-hmm. from 5:30 to 7:30. And so that will be the kickoff to Farm to School Week, which is something that happens across Virginia. And then specifically in Charlottesville, City Council has deemed the first full week of October as Farm to School Healthy Schools Week.
Oh,
and
my.
We work with the schools that whole week to have farmers come visit. The nutrition department does a special menu that's many from scratch items from local foods. So that's October 7th from the 11th. Mm-hmm. So parents are encouraged to come and have lunch with their students that week, because a lot of the food will be profiling local foods. And any parent can come and eat with their student in the cafeteria at any time.
And there are a lot of cool activities going on. Last year, I participated in Farm to School Week. I did a scarecrow making sort of workshop,
right.
With the students, and it was a lot of fun.
That scarecrow is still out at UACC, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And one of the things that just really made me feel good about the work that I'm fortunate to do is, so one of the students in this scarecrow making workshop, this little girl, she helped out about 2-3 days later. I'm out in the community garden, UACC garden at Friendship Court, and I hear Farmer Rich, and I look around, and it's this little girl who was in the school. So I really like this idea of what we're doing in the schools and what we're doing in the community and how those two things connect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how do they connect?
It's a more of a holistic mm-hmm. kind of mm-hmm. approach, and so as Jeanette indicated earlier, in the schools we're sort of working at a personal level, and then in the community gardens it's more at the neighborhood level, mm-hmm. and of course with the Charlottesville Food Justice Network we're at the policy level. Now the students in the schools. The younger students may not be aware of the policy side of things, but I think at the high school level, where mm-hmm. we're talking about healthy school meals, and students are being introduced to the idea of standing up for themselves and promoting healthy foods and food activism and so forth, they're getting a sense of what that of how changing policy addresses larger systemic problems around food inequities.
You know, and I mean that to. To me, that just makes sense. It's a complete education.
Mm-hmm.
So you
mm-hmm.
take in students instead of just teaching them all the, the necessary things, English and math and sciences, but not really showing them how that works in the real world. Then maybe showing them how to grow food mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But where does that go? So you guys are taking that to the next level, not only teaching them how to grow food and prepare food, but how to maybe move into the farming phase mm-hmm. or move into the policy making
exactly.
phase. So when you involve these kids in every single aspect mm-hmm. of food, it goes way more than just what's on your plate.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is the idea of food as a healthy human right.
And really, we're just giving the students the opportunity, and they're choosing to, you know, it's their initiative that makes it happen.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. That's as you were saying, plant the seed.
Right. And one thing to build on that, so if folks are interested in the policy side of it and into sharing their voice around what's important to them, we're currently pulling together this plan for the city council, and tomorrow we'll be at Unity Days, and we'll be doing having an exercise there where you can come and let us know what are your important food policy priorities. So we'll be there from 12 to or 1 to 5, and we'll be taking input from the community. So please come out and join us there. We'll have a booth.
That's 1 to 5 what day?
Tomorrow.
Oh, well, Sunday.
At part of Unity Days.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. All right. And where's that?
It's at the Unity Days Local Action. I think it's on Market Street.
Oh, okay.
And you can look on the city's website. They have a Unity Days calendar. It lists there's so many activities going on this weekend. And so, yeah, the Charlottesville Food Justice Network will have a table there, and we'll be gleaning input from community members to hear about what you want to see, what you want to tell the city is your priority around food access.
And this effort has actually been a continuation of what we did just last week,
right.
I think, last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The West Haven neighborhood has their annual West Haven Day. It's sort of a block party. But there are a lot of organizations there and a lot of people coming out and a lot of good food. But we did some surveying there from the community to get a sense of what their priorities were with regard to how they think about food. And you know, we talked about things like corner stores. We talked about like mobile food trucks that go around. We talked about community gardening, and so the community had an opportunity to voice, you know, their priorities for what they the areas that they thought it would be good for us to focus on, and for us in partnership with the community to focus on.
That's I've got something that I want to talk about.
Okay.
So I'm going to come out there.
Yeah, Market Street Park, 101 East Market Street.
Isn't that where the city market is held?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, so that'll be there, and they'll have a booth set up and all that.
There'll be a lot of organizations there who are, yep.
Man, I'll tell you what. Yeah, my one little pet peeve is the prepared food at the city market.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against Parks and Rec, but the prepared food, I feel, should absolutely be sourced from the vendors at the market. You know, so if you're
like, you mean the actual food that they use to make the food should come from the different market.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so,
a neat idea.
So like, Hog Haven has has a booth, and it's their sausage, it's their eggs. You know, they have their English muffins are all made from a local baker who uses, you know, clean ingredients.
Right, right.
And so everything there is, you know, from their farm, or at least from the local area. And I've noticed a lot of the vendors there have all sorts of great smelling food. And I've asked them, what farm did that come from? You know, their pork or whatever.
Right.
Oh, that didn't come from there. I bought that at Sam's or bought that at Costco. And I'm thinking, oh, man, really?
You know, so I try to make that connection between what we're actually producing at UACC and then how that becomes food that people eat. So, for example, yesterday at our market day, and I'm pretty sure I mentioned this the last time I was here, but UACC market days, every Friday we go to one location in town where we distribute food to people who might not otherwise have access to fresh fruits and produce.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I did yesterday was I took tomatoes, because we got a lot of tomatoes. So tomatoes, cucumbers, onions, garlic. I took all of those things that we produced and made. I called it gazpacho. Everybody else called it salsa. It was good anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made that available for people when they were coming to pick up their food, so they could see the connection between what we grew and how you can take these simple ingredients and make something that's pretty delicious to serve to your family.
Well, it's very true. I was going to a party here at the radio station, and everybody brings a dish.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was on a Saturday. So Saturday morning, I was at the city market, and I decided I'm going to do a stir fry. So I went and I got peppers and onions and yellow squash and cauliflower and broccoli and all that from the city market, and made this stir fry. And I got with chicken from Double H and Free Union Grass Farm. And there it was. And the only spice I used was basil from Double H Farm.
There you go.
And it was absolutely, I surprised myself. You know, I said, my gosh, you know, didn't need soy sauce, didn't need anything like
that. I'm inviting you to our next potluck.
Okay. And I cooked the chicken beforehand, but then I cooked the vegetables and all that on site. So and I had rice to go with it. But it actually turned out quite good, and it was all from city market, you know, and local vendors. So, folks, you can do that. It's absolutely doable. And the harvest. Do you ever work with the Heritage Harvest Festival at all? Or
yeah, I mean, they've reached out to us. We have very similar goals. And
I know. Yeah, I know.
They're starting to grow more at their Tufton Farm area. And so, yeah. Do you go to the Heritage Harvest Festival?
I went for the first 2 years. Uh-huh. I was a vendor.
Okay.
And I had breakfast burritos and barbecue. Uh-huh. So the only thing that, obviously the buns and the tortillas didn't come from local, but everything else was from local farms. And very, very much appreciated. And we did quite well. Mm-hmm. I had a long line all day long. So it worked out well. But I loved going to the Heritage Harvest Festival. Yeah.
And I'm going to be participating in a panel at this upcoming Heritage Harvest Festival. I don't have the details right in front of me, but I bet if you go to the site, it'll be listed. But there are, I think there will be three other people who are actually on the panel. I'll sort of be the MC. And we'll be talking about healthy food access, food equity, and lots of good things.
That's great.
I didn't know that. That's super.
Who is the gal, doggone it, that runs that? Oh, well, look it up. Heritage Harvest Festival, you can see it. She's a wonderful person. She works at the Seed. Say what?
Is it Rachel Wong?
No. She may not. She may no longer be involved.
Okay.
I don't know. But just a wonderful gal, and she's the one who kind of created the Heritage Harvest Festival. First person that did that. And so, where are they having that now? Do you know?
Is it Monticello?
Used to be at Monticello.
It's still is. Yeah.
Oh, it still is. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that was May. The first year was, I can't remember where it was. But then they moved to the, I guess it's Monticello, the mountaintop cut up. Okay. Yeah, that was, folks, if you haven't done this, so go there first thing in the morning, especially if it's cloudy, because you'll be above the clouds. There's a, if it's low-lying clouds, and look east, and it looks like the ocean.
Wow.
It's absolutely amazing, you know, with the low clouds first thing in the morning before it gets burned off. I just kind of looked. I went, whoa, I thought I was at the beach for a second. You know?
We live in a beautiful place, for sure.
We do. We really do. And so, well, I'll tell you, thanks for coming.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
No problem. And I do have a little thing to read here in my two-minute drill.
Okay.
How I end it. It takes a little longer than 2 minutes. But... we've been hearing here on To Your Health and from other sources that the demand for organic food is growing, and eating organic is healthier because of chemical fertilizers, pesticides, and herbicides are not used. And now we're hearing that the toxic administration in Washington is going to deregulate what organic is and what it's not, leaving us in a wasteland of confusion about what to believe. As the weeks roll by and the Twitter storms erupt daily, nobody knows what to expect from our federal government. And quite frankly, reading the news can lead to stress overload.
Yeah.
And stress can lead to early heart, digestive, and brain problems. Bless you.
Sorry.
Can't we all just get along? Well, yes, we can. Community-based agriculture brings us together, provides a common ground between folks from different cultures and backgrounds, strengthens and gives voice to people who before now had none, and most importantly, provides the healthy food we crave and need for our bodies. And we were talking about stress-free, and that's it. That's community-based. People say, what is that, community-supported agriculture? No, I say it's community-based agriculture. And if you don't have a garden... volunteer. You know, come and be a volunteer at City Schoolyard Gardens and get the therapy that you need for your stress. And just imagine if we could feed all or most of the local population with real food and not be dependent on outside political or corporate forces for our nutrition. Exactly what you guys are talking about. Because profit-only motivation of corporate food is keeping us sick and driving the true cost of food to unsustainable levels. Imagine a life with 70% less co-pays for doctor's visit because we're healthier. And very few incidences of hours lost due to sick days. Mm-hmm. A life with more energy and increased production at work, leading to less stress and maybe a promotion or two, you know? These rewards can be achieved by supporting programs like City Schoolyard Gardens and the other programs within the Food Justice Network. I urge you to give your time and or money to the many nonprofits of the Food Justice Network. And you mentioned, Jeanette, it was like 29?
I think it's up around 40 now.
40?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My gosh, it used to be 16.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. And that'll start your journey to a healthier and rewarding life. I want to thank Richard Morris and Jeanette Abinader for joining me this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.
And thanks for listening, guys. And remember, eating real food, wearing a smile, and keeping a positive attitude are keys to your health.